Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all of these MP3 file radio files, also our TV programs are out there, and a host of other Bible-related material. We encourage you to go out there and take a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please, come and visit us. We have been examining the book of 1 Peter, and this morning we're going to conclude the verse that we began looking at last week in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. Let us read that verse again, and we will conclude our study of the verse this morning. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We are looking at the statement, loving our brethren fervently with a sincere heart. The origin of this love is the heart. The heart is the essence of being a Christian. It is good and honest, and it is one that is devoted to God. Note the relationship of hearing, faith, and repentance and baptism to the heart. That's where everything begins. The Bible heart is the mind. It is what thinks. It is what has intelligence. It's the intellect. It's the emotion. It's the thing that's able to reason and discern. Love that Peter uses in this verse, it says to love one another. In the word Jesus used to answer the Jews who asked him to identify the greatest and the first commandment, and that was to love you, the Lord your God, with all your heart, your mind, and soul. What is important to Peter's point is that Jesus says to love God and your neighbor with all your heart. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39. The whole heart. In Mark's account of this same story, he uses the word whole to describe the heart full of love in Mark 12:28-34. The heart. Hardly any Bible student commits the teaching of Jesus concerning the heart as the foundation and origin of genuine Christianity. The rebuke of the Pharisees by Jesus demonstrates this. His rebuke of the Pharisees consisted primarily of his indictment of their hearts, which he said were far from him in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. Considering this in the connection of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 18. In the Beatitudes are part of an exposition of the nature of the inward man and its relationship in serving God and receiving God's blessings. His heart must be right. Read Matthew 5:1-12. Other examples that we can see of the heart in the New Testament is replete with instructions concerning heartfelt service towards God. Please read, for instance, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, and also 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. And so the Bible heart is something that has to be engaged. It is something that must be engaged in a way, and its motivation must be love. But Peter also said that we need to love with fervency. There is an intensity and earnestness in the meaning of this word that eliminates any and all indifference, unconcern, or neglect of one another. In Luke 22:44, I want to read this as an example of this fervency. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see, this is a form of the word to describe the earnestness of which Jesus prayed out of the great agony that he was in the garden as he was facing the cross. In Acts 12, verse 5, this is another form of the word. It's used to reveal the earnestness in which the disciples prayed for deliverance of Peter when he was in prison. The early church made constant prayer fervently to have him released. And, by the way, that prayer was answered, and he was released in a miraculous way. This passage also says to love one another fervently, and we want to look at the phrase one another. Peter refers to the mutual responsibility of brethren towards brethren that is so well documented and defined throughout the pages of God's Word in the New Testament, it is beyond dispute. Not only must brethren love one another, but they must care, forbear, serve, greet, edify, admonish, provoke, comfort, and forgive. Just as an example, in Matthew chapter 6, if we're not willing to forgive our brother, then God will not forgive us. We are to provoke one another to love and good works, Hebrews 10, verse 24. And we are to be kind to one another, Ephesians 4, verse 32. And so this one another is a responsibility that each of us have to one another. Every child of God has the responsibility to love each other fervently with sincere love. Now, the nature of this love is that it gives itself. The meaning is the love has been defined as an unconquerable benevolence, an undefeatable goodwill. And in many ways, but the scriptural description and definition of it is simply sacrificing, offering, or giving up oneself for the good of others. Jesus demonstrated this himself. Hereby we know we love because Jesus loved us and laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. Jesus gave himself up for us, a sacrifice and an offering to God. Read Ephesians 5, verse number 25. As oneself, it means to love your neighbor as yourself, to love someone as you love and nourish and cherish your own body. Read Matthew 22:39 and Ephesians 5:28 and 29. Count others better than ourselves. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Look to the things of others and count others better than yourself, as was the mind of Christ, who became a bondservant, and he died for us, according to Philippians 2 and verse number 8. We are to minister and serve one another. Essence of being in God's kingdom is not power and authority, but serving and ministering unto others as Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus, in his last meeting with the disciples, prior to his being arrested and his mockery of trials, he washed their feet in John chapter 13. Was this a message or was this an example of the need for foot washing after he left? Oh no, it had a much deeper meaning than that. This was an expression of how, if they were going to be successful, if they were going to be good in the service that God was leaving them to accomplish in carrying on his work, they had to have a servant's heart. They had to be willing to sacrifice for others. They had to be willing to serve. In essence, they have to have a servant's heart. And indeed, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we have to have. We have to have a servant's heart if we're going to be willing to put others ahead of ourselves, and we're going to look for others' needs above our own. Now let us go back for a moment and try to put all of this together in looking at this passage. It says, since you have purified your soul. Why have we purified our soul? Because we've obeyed the gospel. We have had our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Read Romans 5 and verse 9. Also Romans 6, 1 through 7. In obeying the truth. That's how we purified our souls. Ladies and gentlemen, man purifies their soul by obeying the truth. And then after we've done that, in sincere love of the brethren. We have to have a genuine concern and love for our brother. And it must be demonstrated. It must be observable. It must be something that we do, not because we have to do it, but that we do it because we want to do it. And we love one another. We don't show partiality. We love each other equally. And we do it with fervency. We do it with fervency. We put some effort in it. We have some desire. We want to be able to have this relationship, and we want it to grow. We want it to mature. We want it to get closer and closer, and we want it to be deeper and deeper, and it has to be genuine. Now, what does it mean, sincere or genuine? That means it has to be real, ladies and gentlemen. It can't be put on. It can't be fake. It's not something we just talk about, but it is something that we act upon. It is something that we do out of the love that we have one for another. And we do it out of a pure heart. We have to be honest. We have to be honest and do it not because we have to do it, not because we're commanded to do it, but we do it because we want to do it, because we want to love this way towards our brethren. Now, ask yourself this question, ladies and gentlemen. Why do we need to love one another fervently with a pure heart? Well, one reason that we need to do that, of course, because we're commanded by God. But another reason that we should be willing to do that is because we are men and women of like precious faith. We are in the family of God. We are part of God's family. We are part of God's heritage. And we have a relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this relationship, we need to understand that God knew that we would need others in order to deal with the difficulties of this life. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Who can better understand the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations that each child of God goes through than another child of God? They understand because they go through the same difficulties and same problems that we do. And so God gave us each other in order to strengthen our relationships individually and collectively. Now, in these passages, in bringing this lesson, part of this lesson to a close, we see that brotherly, the affection and natural love of brothers and sisters, which we bond together in God's spiritual family. Heartfelt, a love that is not superficial, but which is genuine, developed in the heart of the one who's transformed by their obedience to the truth. Sacrificial, a love that regardless of feelings is devoted to the care, the protection, and the development of one another in Christ. And last but not least, purity. Purity, since we have submitted ourselves to the truth of the gospel, we must develop by that truth into a family of loving brothers and sisters who live consistently with that truth and strive to provoke others to live in the same manner. And we demonstrate that not only to one another, not only in provoking one another, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 tells us, that we should provoke one another to love and good works, but by our example, we provoke others and we show Christ living in us, as we can read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. You see, this is a very special relationship, and we need to love one another fervently with a pure and honest heart. In so doing, we not only fulfill the commandment of God, but we exemplify to the world what it means to belong to God and to the special family that we belong to and the special relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. Dear listener, do you have that type of relationship? Are you in the family of God? If you're not, please let us help you, show you how you can be part of this wonderful experience. Thank you for listening today. Please tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue examining 1 Peter chapter 1.